Hi, everyone. It's Kevin. We are all saddened by the news of former President Jimmy Carter's passing. And while the world will always remember him as a statesman and a humanitarian, we have here at Electric Boat a very special bond to the man who is the only qualified submariner to be elected president of the United States. So it's appropriate we remember him. Electric Boat designed and built the boat named for Mr. Carter, the third and final Seawolf class ship, which really is a ship that is in a class of its own, just like the man. So joining me today on the podcast, we have several people who have a connection to the Carter, either in designing, building, or serving on it. And a few were lucky enough to have met the former president, and they'll all share their thoughts about the man and his namesake submarine. So let's get started. First up is Matt Olander, our current VP of Design and Engineering, who worked on the Jimmy Carter earlier in his EB career as an engineer.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I'll start with a little bit of maybe history on the Seawolf class itself. Like you said, it was a three-ship class, but it was really intended to be the ultimate Cold War machine. So it almost harkens back to the president's time in office in the heat of the Cold War. Ultimately, though, at the end of the Cold War, the program was truncated. We ended up with three ships with a very unusual naming scheme. The first and the class, named after an animal. The second, our state, Connecticut. And the third, after our 39th president, Jimmy Carter. And as you said, the ship is almost a ship of its own class. We modified that very extensively, adding a 100-foot hull section, and ultimately called her a multi-mission platform. And this turned this very capable Cold War platform into an R&D boat, accommodating advanced technology, new sensors, payloads, ultimately enabling her to do classified R&D development and testing. Interestingly, Jimmy Carter, the president, attended the commissioning of this ship in 2005, and his family spent some time touring the ship and the crew as well. I was lucky enough to meet him, albeit very briefly, at the commissioning ceremony.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that. Now with us on the phone is Stan Gwatz, and everybody knows Stan, who just retired from EB this last year. And if you know Stan, you know you have enormous respect for what he's delivered to Electric Boat over nearly 50 years. So Stan was the ship's manager on the Carter project. And Stan, let's talk a little bit about your experience working on the boat and meeting the former president.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. So, Matt did a great job of summarizing, the 23 boat of Jimmy Carter. Magnificent ship, probably the most complex submarine we've ever built, at least at my stay at Electric Boat. One in a lifetime opportunity to work and build that submarine, and work with some of the greatest engineers and designers that we had as a company, and Matt being one of those. My first experience meeting President Carter, actually, it wasn't really good timing. We got word that the president and Mrs. Carter wanted to visit Electric Boat and tour the submarine, and again, it's never the right time in submarine building, but we were in the process. The MMP section, the multi-mission platform, it just arrived from Quonset Point, and we were in the process of pairing up the submarine and doing the hull butt. And so we were bringing the forward end section together. We were probably about 3 feet from pairing when they showed up. And prior to their arrival, obviously, the Secret Service came down, and we had to go figure out what the tour route was going to be, and I was trying to explain to the Secret Service what we were doing, and we might have to call an audible, and they were kind of pushing back a little bit because they wanted the tour path to be what it is. And so we thought it was just going to be a small crowd. So all of a sudden, we get ready for this tour, and big Greyhound bus pulls into 260 over into Bay 5, and President and Mrs. Carter have like 30 of their family members come out off on this Greyhound, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me! How are we ever gonna pull this off? Right, and Mrs. Carter's kaboot has got high heels on, and I said, somebody's gonna get hurt. But it was really, really unbelievable how nimble Mr. Carter was and how he weaved his way through that submarine. Now, you got to understand, and Matt does, the MMP section, you know, we had this lost waste section, which was like a tunnel going through there, and we had all these big cables, power cables, that we pulled, that had obviously pulled back, that we were going to route through the forward end of the boat. So, you know, you had to, you know, go in and out, you know, and maneuver around those. And, you know, again, Mrs. Carter, too, managed to maneuver around those. It was really, real amazing how interested he was. He wanted to meet the people. He shook hands and had some small conversations with some of our people. It was really, I was really impressed on his knowledge. You know, obviously he was briefed on what the project was all about, but you know, usually, you know, I've done a lot of these things. I've had vice presidents, secretaries of defense, et cetera, and they really don't understand what we're doing. But what really impressed me was he understood the submarine. And obviously he was a submariner, but he was never probably subject or experienced anything like this. And he just, it was like he was building the thing himself. And he kind of, you know, we've kind of guided him along, but he kind of took the tour on his own. And that's what stood out the most with me, how impressed he was, what a people person, and how he really understood the product and what we were, and how appreciative he was of the men and women of Electric Boat for doing it. Another story I'll have, which a little bit on the light side. So we had the ceremonial launch, and obviously the president, Mr. Carter, and this time they came with about 60 folks from Georgia. So a little bit more difficult, and we took pictures, you know, the day like we normally do, et cetera. And then we had the dinner the night before, and then we had the ceremonial launch. And Pete Havelson was the vice president of operations at the time, and he had a big banner, you know, like a 25-foot long banner made up of Jimmy Carter. And what we did was we had all the folks that worked on Jimmy Carter sign the banner, put their name on it, and we were going to hang it over in 8N. As you go in, you know, through the gate and you look at 8N, we had it hung on that side of the building. Well, anyway, so we're at the ceremonial launch, and Pete comes up to me and he says, "Hey, you got to get President Carter to sign this banner." And I go, "Pete, you got to be kidding me." He goes, "Where's the banner?" He says, "Oh, I had facilities bring it up. It's in the room down the hall." I said, "Okay, now you got to keep in mind that, you know, you get the Secret Service was, every time I was with the president, the Secret Service was all over him. And, you know, they would even whisper in my ear, hey, you can't touch him. You know how you want to get close to him, and, you know, like especially on the ship, it was a little bit noisy. And, you know, you have a tendency to put your arm on somebody's shoulder and talk to him. And that was a no-no with those guys. So, anyways, I get up to the president. I said, "Mr. Carter, would you mind? We have a banner that we made. We'd really love for you to sign." "Yeah, okay." So I take him out of the room. Well, guess what? Secret Service, either they were eating the shrimp or they were fell asleep, but they don't see this, right? So I take the president out, go down a hall, a couple rooms, and we go in and sign it. Well, in the meantime, they finally wake up and realize that, where's the president? We lost him. So they got a little bit of, you can understand, some commotion going around. You know, they're running around the hallways looking for this guy, you know, probably thinking somebody kidnapped him. And then here we come out of the room, and needless to say, I got kind of an earful from those guys that, you know, like, what the hell are you doing? And but anyways, that's one story I'll never forget, that we got his signature, and somehow it slipped by the Secret Service. And got those guys a little bit nervous. But, you know, the other thing about the president was he just went with the flow. He never changed his demeanor. He was always the same level. And it was just, he just made this immediate impression, impact on you, like nobody I've ever met before. You know, obviously the utmost respect, because he respected what we did. And he was just a gentleman, and obviously, you know, a great president. And boy, I'll tell you, those are memories I'll take to the grave with me. even though there were short times. You never forget that. You just don't forget that kind of stuff. And really appreciative of Electric Boat for giving me that opportunity. Again, once in a lifetime, and a normal person will never have that opportunity to meet one of the greatest presidents we've had.
Oh, great. Great stories, Stan. Thanks for sharing that with us. So Mark Wiggins is an electrical engineering specialist in overhaul and repair engineering. And Mark, you were a plank owner on the Carter and met the former president on a couple occasions. So tell us what it was like to meet the Carters.
Well, I came to the boat in 2002 when it was they just put the M&P section in. And the first day I walked up to the boat, the Cobb says, walks me down to the boat and he says, "This 100-foot section's yours." I was the first chief on the M&P. So they just put it together at that point. And a little while later, the Carters came down for their second visit to the boat before the launching. And they talked to the chief's quarters separately. I know you remember this, Roger. But talked about leadership, how hard it would be on today's boats with the complexity of the equipment and the whole submarine compared to his days on the boats. Also talked to us individually about our careers, and he made small talk about where he grew up. He was a very humble person.
He was.
And his wife, Rosalind, she was a very humble person too. So it was, I think the launching to me was the highlight of my career. I left right after the launching to go to another boat. But I can remember standing there on that day. It was a crystal clear day outside. And I was right behind the officers. So I was on the one side where President Carter was sitting, and I got to look at him the whole day. And then that was pretty special. It was a nice day to be on the boat.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Appreciate that, Mark. And with us today, we've got Ray Walker. He's a senior test engineer in maintenance engineering. And you also served on the Carter as a machinist mate and worked in special projects R&D section with Mark. So what were your impressions of the Carters?
When I first met the president, we talked about growing up in Georgia. I'm a fellow person that lived in Georgia, and my father grew up really close to where his hometown was, so we talked a lot about that area of the country. And then we talked about how excited and honored he was to have the ship named after him, and that it would carry on his legacy throughout the years. And the pinnacle for me was taking him underway from Kings Bay.
Yeah.
We pulled in, he came aboard, we took him underway, him and his wife got to drive the ship, they slept in the officers' quarters, they briefed the crew, and he got to talk to us on the crew's mess as a group. You know, they obviously had to split them up into the watch team, so he had mm-hmm. to talk three times, but I was in the second row right behind the captain, so, and right to the side of him was Vice Admiral Munns, which at the time was like the CNO or whatever, but very humble people, very quiet and reserved, and they listened when you talked, and they get feedback, so it was really great. And when I first got there, I worked for Roger. He was my chief, and this guy stole me because I got a clearance. So, and just so happened, the work I was doing with my clearance was very special to me, because not only did I work with people like Mark, I got to work with Matt and the other engineers, the super smart people to put the boat together. And I was the mechanical lead for the M&P section.
Yeah.
And I also got to go to dive school, and I was the first dive LPO on the boat, me and Gary Robinson, that works down in the yard.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Appreciate you sharing that, Ray. Roger is a test writer, Roger Parsons, so everybody knows who I'm talking to, is a test writer currently working on the Hartford. And Roger, I understand that you retired off the Carter.
Yes, I did.
And that was in 2004 as the first A-gang chief.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So yep. Tell us a little bit about your experience meeting the president and your experience on board Carter.
I thought it was the most awesome thing that could ever happen to me, being hillbilly from West Virginia. First off, I never thought I'd ever even see a submarine, let alone ride one. But I did 20 years in the Navy, and then I had the most awesome time meeting Jimmy Carter and Roslyn together. And they were awesome people, very, very humble, like everybody else has said about them, very good people. And just being on the Jimmy Carter itself, I learned so much about him and his Navy career. And I thought it was really something that we could actually have a submariner be the President of the United States. Because you know what? There's not a finer group of people in the world.
No, I agree with that.
As far as I'm concerned, right.
I agree with that. The people who sail them and the people who build them, in my
opinion. Exactly, exactly. So in meeting him, we enjoyed talking about his time in the submarine force and what he did. Also talked about his humanitarian work. I really, really was thrilled at what he did with the people down in Guinea with the water situation and the Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah,
it was just
probably what he's best known for.
Best
since
known
he was
for
president.
Yes, yeah. And it's to me the most awesome thing, and to see him even prior, you know, to now, him out as an old person out hammering nails was just incredible. Yeah. So, yes, it was the pinnacle of my Navy career to meet him.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Rogers. And thanks, everyone, for joining me today to share your memories of former President Jimmy Carter and the ship that bears his name. I want to close with his own words from the Navy commissioning ceremony for the Carter that took place on February 19, 2005. And in his remarks, he said he had been honored to serve as the governor of Georgia, the president of the United States, and the director of the Carter Center, an influential human rights organization. So here's a man who is as accomplished as all of that. And he said, "But the deepest, most emotional honor I've ever had is to have this great ship bear my name," said Carter, referring to the ship's crew, most of whom he had personally met. Carter said their dedication is to use its extraordinary capabilities, many top secret, to preserve peace, to protect our country, and to keep high the banner of human rights around the world. And I think those words are just as true today as they were back in 2005. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. If you have the moment, as you listen to this podcast, just please take a moment, think about, reflect on the life of Jimmy Carter and the importance of him to our business, and I think our business to Jimmy Carter. Thanks for joining us today.